All right, so I'm going to start today by repenting. I know, right? You're really surprised? Come on. You don't know me very well. No, I'm just... we did an outreach. I don't know if it was last weekend, the weekend before, but we did an outreach in Santa Ana. Four people gave their lives to Christ and got baptized. Like, they went all the way. It was amazing. Yay, right? And, like, so I think this is, like, the fourth or fifth, like, kind of outreach that we've done. And I'm starting to really believe that there's a call on my life to be an evangelist. And I want to be the best one that I can for him. So, I'm practicing, right? I'm practicing. Anyway, all that to say this. I said something on Saturday that I shouldn't have. How many know when you talk a lot, you end up saying stuff that ain't right, you know? So I just want to make it right. I respect that position. I respect this position. And if I'm ever wrong, I'm going to let you guys know. I was talking about myself and my own testimony, and I said, you can't be born again and shoot methamphetamine. That's not true. You sure can. In fact, after that, when I was home, and this is how we can fool ourselves. I forgot that I had used methamphetamine and Oxycontin being born again. There was a time when I was on fire for the Lord, and I was, my marriage, you see, just because we get saved doesn't mean we think differently instantly. I describe myself as a satanic idol worshiping pagan saved by the blood of Jesus that is being renewed and restored and renewed and restored. But that's my history. That's where I come from. That's the stuff that I carry out of, Lord, save me. Save me. I gave my life to the Lord in a rehab up in Northern California. And I would do geographics, right? I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, but I would do geographics between Phoenix and California because it was you and my circumstances. It wasn't me. You know what I mean? It was the people around me were bad. You know, I just need to go here. I just need to go there. I just need to go here. I just need to go there. Yeah. So I gave my life to Jesus. I was in a rehab in Northern California, and I was sharing with this guy. And he goes, you need Jesus, brother. That's how he said it and everything. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you need to be saved. You need Jesus. And I went, what? I know I need something. Like, it was obvious. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, what? Offended. I was like, yes, you're right. I need to be saved. What do I have to do? And he said, we got to pray. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And I did it, you guys. I got on my knees and I prayed that prayer. And I said, Jesus, save me. Save me, God. Come into my life. Yeah, right? I got out of that rehab and went back to Phoenix. Did not go to church, didn't work any kind of a program, just white-knuckled sobriety, went back to the same girl, and I did everything that I did before. And I ended up doing what I do, right? Because I didn't do anything different. But so that started the process, and I would say within a few years in there, some people call it trauma blocking. I just can't remember my life, you know, areas. But I came back to California, met a guy that knew how to manufacture methamphetamine, and I was like, oh, everybody needs a career. Turns out I don't know how to sell drugs. I do them. And that didn't work out so great. But I found myself, and I want to share this, because I even tried to make a deal with the devil. I'm in my truck. I'm making meth. I'm shooting like a 16th at a time, like things that kill you. And I'm like, devil. I'm in my little red truck. Devil, hey, check it out. Keep me from getting busted. with your evil powers. And I'll keep feeding people this poison and myself. You know, I don't care, whatever. Just make sure I don't get busted. Well, like a day, maybe 3 days. Within that week, I got busted. I got saved. God's like, you can't make deals with the devil, Jonesy. God, you're so sweet. And, you know, after prison, I met my then girlfriend, who's now my wife. And, you know, I did another violation. It was, you know, I went back to prison, and I remember looking at a picture of my now wife and my oldest, who's, you know, my stepdaughter, but she's my daughter. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, I just want a life. Like, God used that to, like, you know what? I need to get sober. Like, that's one thing I've never done before. Like, maybe I can stay out of prison if I do that. And with all that stuff, so I got, you know, wigged out on AA, and I was always gone. And I was always doing that, trying to stay sober. My wife started going to church so we could do something together. She started going to church just to do something with me. And I was like, remember I prayed that prayer? I'm like, I'm cool with the God of my own understanding, but I'm not cool. You know, I'm not, I don't know about Jesus. It's a little heavy, you know, like, you know, it's a little too weird for me. You know, I'm being honest. I came home one night and she was praying with my kids around the dinner table, and this anger and hate rose up in me. Like, I was mad at what I was seeing. That's a weird thing, but, and God, you want to call it impressed on my heart, you want to call, spoke to me, but I knew it was him, because he goes, you're going to fight me? Or do you want to do what you're supposed to do? And I was like, I'll go to church. Besides, I heard that guy in that band that I want to get a show with is going there, so I'll just go there. You know, that's my agenda, though. I'll go, but I'm looking for a gig. And I mean, I got radically changed. That was God lit me up, baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! But this is the thing. I kind of got into the Word. It was that process where it's like, there's so many words and they're so small. You know, and I don't like to read, and but you know, you try, and so things happen. You begin to change a little bit. But I was like, God, that my marriage is tough, man. It's too tough for me. You got to heal this marriage, you know. And this is what's wrong with her, and this is what's wrong with her, and this is what's wrong with her, and you know, and that's how I would pray. And just up until, I mean, I'm embarrassed, but it's true. Up until recently, I was just, and I mean, granted, I've done, you know, there's been a process. It's not like, it's called sanctification, guys. And it's a process, and it's something that we need to embrace. And it was like, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5, I was driving to church. And I was like about to just complain about my marriage one more time to God. And I stopped, and I'm like, oh, I don't believe that he really can fix it. Like, I'm praying in unbelief. Fix my wife. Right? She's going to come home. Right? The title of my message is Setting Our Minds. Because I want to talk about, you can be positionally saved and not walk in the power of God. You can be positionally saved and be ignorant to his word and live a life as if he doesn't exist. I mean, seriously. So I praise God that I said that stupid thing, because it caused me, like, what's up? I've been wrestling with God all week on salvation and sanctification, and because the word of God says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I stand on that. That's the scripture I stand on. You can, and God knows the heart. See, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the heart. I surrender. I'm not God, you are. There's only one God, and it's you. Yahweh, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When that happens, it's God regenerates the heart. It's not like we found Him, but it's we engage with Him. Now there's permission. We've joined in on. And I mean, there's things called predestination I can't get into, but you've always been God's, okay? You were God's even when you weren't saved yet. Because predestination says God thought of you and me before He even created the world, and He said, you're mine. Remember that. That's important. That takes a lot of weight off of us being messy. But at the same time, God wants to reduce our messy. Let me start in Romans 8, 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So I know that Paul is talking about, this is an all-encompassing scripture too. I know very much so he's talking about the unregenerate heart versus the regenerate heart. The unsaved versus the saved. If you remember, before you were born again, you lived your life for you. I mean, at least I did. I knew God existed. God has even reminded me about being a little kid. I'm an only child, right? So I grew up on MTV and I spent a lot of time by myself, but God would remind me about us talking. I didn't go to church, but I would pray. I would talk to Him. Anyway, didn't say the prayer, wasn't going to church, wasn't reading the Bible. Just think it's significant. The predestination, you've always been His. Okay? And it's His doing, not ours. Now, it says here, okay, so to set one's mind, to set your mind is to commit to consistency. Okay, think, it's a basic rule, you know, I don't know if you want to call it rule of law or just, it is what it is. It's like what you sow, you will reap. The spiritual law. What you sow, you will reap. So, to set one's mind is to repeat until it gets into the heart. Okay, we have a conscience. We have our minds, right? And we can take thoughts and we can get rid of them. We forget. All these other things, but the repetitiveness, and this is what the beast does. The beast knows this too. Repeat, 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 even though you're like, I don't know. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm not really bothered by that anymore. I'm not really bothered by that sin anymore. So God also, and He made us this way, we're impressionable. He wants us to set our minds on what is true, what is right, what is noble, what is good. Why? Because the beast is telling you, you know what? You're all alone. Ain't nobody coming for you, and you're not enough. But I got what you need for a price. Over and over and over, all day, every day, even our innocent little scrolling, you're getting pelted. Your mind is being pelted. So, that's one of the reasons why I don't watch TV anymore. I have not found value in things like the news and other things. Most programming. I mean, I'll watch a movie with my wife. I'm not, you know, whatever. But I prefer not to. I end up not liking people. So, you know. that is what it is. But, and Jesus tells us, you know, what the most important things are. And he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he's quoting Deuteronomy. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Yet these two commandments hang us up so bad, don't they? The heart. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's like, so we're made up of body, this cursed. This is our sin. Our sin nature is connected to this body that was made out of dirt here on the earth. The earth's been cursed. We're cursed because of Adam and Eve, because they did their own thing. God the Father created man. He created world. Then we created man. He put man in the garden and he gave that man a command and he promised him life if he kept it and death if he didn't. Well, he didn't. And that's why we are where we're at. It's been generation after generation after generation passed down. And that's why no one is good, not one. We all need Jesus. We all need the mediator to reconcile us back to God. So the heart, the mind, our spirit, our inner self is composed of life, soul, mind, and spirit. They all kind of overlap. And I was talking to Matt Tankley about this week, and we had a great conversation about how they're all kind of, they overlap each other. It's, you know, deciphering between the spirit and the soul. You know, I wasn't able to do that much research or whatever. So all I can tell you is we possess these. And it's literally like the heart is the seat of thought and emotion. It's like, where we, our will lies there, our center of personality that embraces the mind, emotions, and will. You know, the human will is the greatest gift and the most dangerous gift God ever gave us. Our own right to choose. Even though he's sovereign over all of our choices, he knows the end from the beginning, we have total freedom. Whether we follow him or we don't. And I mean moment by moment. I don't mean just your salvation. So a thought, create an action. So an action, create a habit. So a habit, create a character. So a character, create a destiny. Remember that. What we sow is what we reap. How we spend our time and what we fill our minds with, what we fill our soul with, what we fill our spirit with matters. It matters. In verse 6 it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. The word for death there is thanatos. It means futile. To set the mind on living your life in the flesh is futile. It doesn't end well. It has no victory in it. There is absolute defeat. It's futile. The eternal, the word for life here is Zoe. So it's the life that you and I possess now, the life that we're living, but it's all life. It's even eternal life. It's an all-encompassing, full life. Life to the fullest. Eternally, presently, all of it. It's called Zoe. And then the peace is Irene. I sang this in front. Come on, Irene. Anyway. The word for peace is called Irene, and its emphasis is on the lack of strife. So it's not just holding your peace during tough times. It's literally, you don't see the tough times. You don't consider them tough. It's literally your peace, there's a lack of strife against you. You don't see it. You don't feel it. You might even be going through it. You just don't feel the strife of it. Because your mind's set on the Spirit. There's only one way you and I will ever obey God. And listen to me. He desires obedience over sacrifice. He desires the sanctification of your heart more than you feeding the homeless, feeding the poor, tithing at church. See, a lot of times we can do these things, and they're good things, but that's the fruit of who we know. It's not the actions that actually make me holy and set apart. It's me going, God, I need you and I need your word. And when your word says to forgive somebody, I won't hold a resentment and not talk to them. I'll go to them and reconcile. Because he tells you to lay your sacrifice down and go make it right with your brother and sister. Literally saying, I care more about your heart and the reconciliation, whatever that will take. And I know sometimes you can't reconcile. You just forgive. It's too dangerous to reconcile. They're unwilling to reconcile. We're not doormats for anybody. We hold healthy boundaries in peace. There's a way to do that. I know it's crazy, right? I thought you had to hit somebody. Turns out you don't. You don't. You can be sweet too. The word for cannot, I've shared this with you guys before, because it says, if you walk in the flesh, you cannot submit to God's law. And I want you to make sure that you're not receiving this wrong, because I have before. It doesn't say may not. It's not like God's law. Nope, you don't get it, because you're bad. It's cannot. It's the word for it is O-U. Ooh. And it means absolutely in no way impossible. You see what I mean? Like if you choose the flesh, you cannot. Literally, like you've made your choice. You're sitting in that now until you stop, repent, and turn, right? You've made your choice. You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot please God. You cannot. It's not that he's like not allowing you to. It's you're missing it. I'm missing it. When I act out and I act in my flesh, I'm missing God's purpose in that moment. Jesus knows what's in us, and he tells us in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 22. He's going back and forth with the religious folk, because the Jews were like, we're holy and that's dirty. So we don't touch that. We don't eat that. And Jesus is like, that's not what's dirty. Let me tell you what, guys, is dirty. And he says this. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. That's a lot. That's a lot packed in this little spot right here, you know? But it's true. And you know what? You and I have spent much of our lives feeding off what we thought was the right table. But it hasn't been. And so when you turn, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Be my God. Okay, obey my word. Okay, well, in order for me to obey my word, I have to learn it. I have to know it. You see, this isn't this is the way we go to church and what we do and what we do. We read our Bible and worship God and that's what we do. That was good, huh? That was off the cuff. That was off the cuff. Anyway. Repeat, repeat, repeat. There's a new way to live. You see, when we pray, you know, God, do this. God, do that. You know, God, heal my marriage. God, heal my mind. God, I don't want to look at the things that I still find value in. You're still doing things because you want to, by the way. You still want to. You want to look at those things. You want to talk like that. You want to, you know, act like that. It's our human, fallen, sinful nature. And you are attached to it because you're attached to your body. But when the Bible says that Jesus Christ has overcome sin, death, and hell, and when you make him your Lord and Savior, you too have power over sin and death. Okay? So if that's true, and it is, then it's about me and you learning about that. So when I know that, I begin to apply it. Why? Because I start believing it. Why? Because I haven't been eating off the same table of poison. And listen, I know we're in the world. So you know, you're in the world. We're in the world. We're not of this world, but we're in it. So you're going to engage in some worldly things. You just are. And if you're not, then I would encourage you to get comfortable in Christ so you can start being a light out there in the world. To the, you know what I mean? Don't, you know, go to satanic parties, you know, whatever, you know, but, you know, whatever. If God calls you to do it, go. My point is this. The more you fill your mind, your soul, your spirit with the truth, then my belief system now, my mind, you know, I can accept or reject. That's the human will. So once I start to read and oh my gosh, and the Holy Spirit confirms that this is the truth, then I, you know what? I start learning it. Oh, okay. So, cause this is where it matters when you get triggered. It matters when things happen. It matters when somebody that you love dies. Like that's when this stuff matters. Like, and I talk to people when family members they love die. It's like, where, like, how's your faith right now? Cause it, really, this is where it matters. We're not playing church. This is real, and it's, we have been gifted with an opportunity to draw off an internal inheritance here on earth. That's one of our blessings as his kids, is that we don't have to just go through life by ourselves and, you know, our friends and our family. We can go through life with God, the one who created everything and all things, who knows the story from the end, from the beginning to the end from the beginning, and has already made all the provisions for all your good and bad choices. It's already been done. So that should give you comfort, okay? And also should put a fire in us. Because now it's not about you working for salvation. You're in. You can't work for it. It's what he did on the cross. It's his perfect life lived out in thought, word, and deed, never sinning against anybody or God in our place. He's the perfect one. And in his passive obedience, he died for us and spilt his blood, the blood that covers all, removes, doesn't just cover, but removes sin completely for those who are his. Yeah. Yeah. But hey, listen, do you believe that? Do you live like you believe that? See what I mean? We apply. We learn a little, we use it a lot. I love it when Joe says that. Romans, Paul tells us this, and he's very frank with it. He, in chapter 7, he goes, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil is close at hand. For I delight in the law. I love God. But my inner being, but I see in my members, my body, a law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Ha, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, because he did, he delivered you and I. We are not going to die in our sin. He is your Lord and Savior. You have said, you're God, I'm not. I don't fully understand Jesus. Your crucifixion and your resurrection, but with what I know, I believe. You're my Lord. There's only one God, and it's you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Paul is saying that the Word of God delivers him on a regular basis. He's connected to his body, so there's always going to be that bend. What are you going to do? Somebody talks bad about you, what are you going to do? All what you always have done and go get them back? You know, what are you going to do if things don't work out the way you thought? You know, maybe money's tight. And there's, you know, and how many of you guys know, can relate to this? When money's tight, you're much, and you're worried about that and stressed. How are your relationships? Are you nice? No. You're fearful, you're angry, and you start lashing out. There's no reason for that. Why? Because God's in control. God's in control. You need to pray and believe when you pray. Because you know what? If God's called, you know, if God's called the building to burn down, then so be it. He's made provision for something else. And he wants to move us. That's it. Not, oh my God. No, Danny. Things happen. Things happen, and we give it to God. In Galatians, Paul says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And it's just goes to that example of if you have two dogs and you feed one and starve the other and they're coming against each other, the one that you feed more is going to win. And that's what's going on with your spirit and your flesh. Listen, you can pray. Let me be careful at my wording. There's one thing to pray. God, use me, you know, thank you for saving me, use me to build your kingdom. And then when opportunities come up to serve, well, I'm too busy. God bless, you know, bless me, take care of my family and God, I'm praying for my finances, but tithing is, I don't have enough money to do that. So I want to give you examples. Where's your faith? If you want God to bless you, you should, God, I know that you own everything and you said that you clothe the flowers of the field. How much more will you take care of me? And I'm not to worry about things like money because you are my provider. Therefore, I'll just be obedient to your word. I'm not rolling down Beach Boulevard, throwing $100 bills out the window. I'm not doing that. But I try my best to be generous. Not just with this church, but in general. Why? Because I'm showing myself that God's in control. I'm proving to myself I have faith that God will give me not just take care of me, but I know he'll abundantly take care of me. That's faith. And it takes practice. It takes practice. But I want to shake the tree today. I want to reset our minds offensively so we can live our lives this week and weeks to come. Not in fear. You know, if you're going to worry about anything, worry about how can I get this and understand this as fast as I possibly can. As much of it and as fast as I possibly can. And again, I understand you're looking at this going, oh my gosh, look at that book, it's thick. There's freedom in here. There's healing in here. There's deliverance in here. You want a better marriage? Right here. You wanna be free from those thoughts? You wanna be delivered from your anger? You wanna be a blessing? You know, to be one of those people that, like, have you ever like done something for someone and like lit their life up? Like, bro, thank you. It's the best. It's the best to be there, to be the blessing for somebody in that way is the best. And I'm telling you, that's the stuff that's not going to burn up on the last day. And that day is coming. And let me tell you something else. Your spouse isn't going to be next to you, and you ain't going to have their faith to borrow. Your mom and dad ain't going to be next to you, and you ain't going to have their faith to borrow. It'll be you, naked, with God, and he will show you everything that you've done and said, what burns up and what withstands the fire. My preaching today is to get us to focus on things that will not burn up, to add more of that to our life. Because I know we're on different paths of sanctification. I know we're all on different spots. I'm still being sanctified. You know, I'm still really finding where my doctrines lie and who God is. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever get to the bottom of this. He's God. I won't. But the more that I get to know him, well, that's where my faith comes. That's where my confidence comes. That's where my peace comes. Like it said, Zoe and Irene. Full life. Peace that, man, it seems like everything's good. Even in adversity, you know? I'm learning. I'm growing. I know that God is sanctifying me in it. And our prayers, because when adversity comes, our prayers should be, Lord, let me look like you, walk like you, talk like you, think like you, and pray like you through this whole thing. And, you know, because you do that, you have that kind of heart, you may not do everything perfect, but I guarantee you that the circumstances will be far different than if you handle it like you always have. See, we need to set our minds on also resisting temptation. That's the one thing the devil's got us on, man. He already did what he had to do, and our sin nature just... Love sin. If I go home today and I watch 10 seasons of Yellowstone or whatever, I don't even know if there's 10 seasons, but, and then tomorrow I read Surfer Magazine, and then the next day, you know, I listen to, you know, KLOS or some hard rock. That's not, you know, it's not bad. I'm in the world. See, none of these things at the very least, there needs to be balance, like a balanced diet. You eat certain foods because you want to be healthy. If you're eating every meal at McDonald's, they did a documentary on that. You're not going to come out well. Okay? Same thing. Same thing. And little bits of the things that they present in the world aren't bad. We're in the world. Enjoy it. This world was made for us. And the purpose of life is to enjoy God, enjoy each other, and enjoy this planet that he made, to truly get the most out of this precious life that he gave us. This life that we live is not. And that's another thing the beast does. He dumbs down how precious this life is and how short it is. And just there's purpose in us being together. And we're all connected, by the way. We're connected to him. We're connected to each other. And we're connected to the planet that we live on right now. We need to check ourselves in the way we look at life and others, even those that are, they're not saved, man. In fact, they don't want nothing to do with what we stand for. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. Because you know what? That might be that one person in the world that it's his elect. They just haven't come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ yet. And maybe he wants to use you to plant that seed. He'll grow. That's why we do what we do. We can't save anybody. I can't send anybody to hell, and I can't send anybody to heaven. Thank God. That way when I do what I do, I just water and plant. That's why if somebody rejects what I'm saying, I go, okay. I'm not going to fight you, but you can watch my life. Watch me then. Opportunity comes again, I'll share with them again, you know, but it's not my job. My job is to obey God and to build his kingdom. And so how does a sinner keep God's commandments? How do we get the revelation of who he is? Well, and I know that, you know, it's through his word. But here's what Jesus says, because, and he brings this up. We're going to be in John 15. He brings this up because he knows, not only then, but in the future, how many lines of communication are pumped into your life. Okay, like he says, I am the true vine, right? So, but there's other vines that are preaching to you. And it's coming out of the box in your living room and the box in your pocket. You got two prophets, two little preacher boxes, and it's preaching to you the world, or it's preaching to you the truth. You see, the boxes themselves, in and of themselves, aren't evil. It's what we choose to watch on them. And I know we can't get away from all of it, because I can only be on Facebook now for a second before these models come up, and it's like, dude, I got. That's where our world's going. I mean, anyway, these girls are making so much money on things like OnlyFans and stuff. It's sad. It's really sad. It's like, yeah, anyway. God help them, bless them, keep them. So Jesus says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Take that heart. We cannot please God unless we're walking in the Spirit, unless we obey the word of God, and we can't obey the word of God unless we know the word of God. So see, that's why it's so important for us to get plugged into a community. And if this isn't where you feel comfortable, I want you to find one that you do feel comfortable in. And then implant yourself in that community and start serving in God's house in that community. Because you're going to get your feelings hurt. And you need to. And I'm just saying, because that's what we do here. We serve God, we serve his purposes, and we bite each other sometimes. But what does the Bible say about that? Set your sacrifice down, set everything else that you're doing in church down, and go reconcile with your brother or your sister. That's more important to me, says God, than your service, your heart. God doesn't want us walking around with bitterness, resentment, any of those things. Because it causes poison in us. It causes separation. It causes us to act, think, and do things that don't please God. But you'll never do anything different unless you get new information over and over and over and over again. I remember a young man that goes to this church. And did I already tell you this? We prayed for our anger. It was that first service. 6 years ago, we prayed for our anger. Because I'm super sensitive and I'm an emotional person, you know? So when you hurt me, but that hasn't brought forth the righteousness of God. See what I mean? When I react to you hurting me and I do something out of Chris Jones's flesh, it is not producing godly results. So in those moments, I'm supposed to either A, there's a few things you can do. Is this worth it? Can I operate in forgiveness and just know they're doing the best they can with what they have? They have a past, like I said, they have childhood traumas that maybe I triggered something, whatever. I forgive you. You know, I don't even need to broach the subject. I just forgive them. But if it's something that I need to do, I go to them in love. I show them grace and I ask them for the same. And when I do wrong, I allow myself to be embarrassed. I even allow myself to be ashamed of what I've done because that's good. And then I repent. And where I can, I make amends. This is setting our mind on the things of God. That way, people get to be people. Now your walk with God is faith in God, faith in his word, not faith in his word and the way other people treat me. We're all in different places, so we're going to treat each other different. And the way you behave, let me say this. The amount that you do abide in Christ is evident. Is evident. Whether you do or you don't is evident in your life. If people that know you can peer in and they see. And that's what I think people have a problem with, hypocrites, right? The reality is we're just being sanctified. We love Jesus and we're doing the best we can. And yep, I didn't act like him right now. You know, but that doesn't negate or anything, my walk with Christ or anything. It just means I need to do something that the world doesn't do. Hey, I'm sorry, how I can make it right. How can I make this right? How can I reconcile us back to where we were before this? That's Jesus. That's strength. That's power. That's love. That's how we make the world a better place. One relationship at a time in your life, making a difference. So the word for prune here is a kathero. It means to prune or to cleanse. So when God sees you producing fruit, he's like, right on, son, right on, daughter. there's a circumstance coming your way that's going to shave a little bit of that edge off that you still got, though. Because I can see that you've got, I see something in you. You're strong. I see something coming. And we'll be doing it together. So he cleanses us and he sanctifies us. Another word for sanctification is he allows us to enter into certain situations. Again, we have our own free will. That's the mystery of God, is amazingly he's sovereign over all of it. But yet we get the freedom to choose. And he says in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, he again, where do you set your mind? He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Whether neither moth nor rust destroys and whether thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you treasure most. What you treasure most will subtly but infallibly direct the direction of your life. It will, whatever true, what you truly hold valuable in your heart. Jesus wants us to be intentional with our lives. If the Bible's true, and it is, then God is literally absolutely in control. He is your provider. He's your healer. He's your strong tower, so he'll fight for you. He protects you. And so no matter what happens, even if it's your time to go home, you see, what? Isn't that bad? No. If you look at it from an eternal perspective, when I die, I pray you guys have a huge party. Because I'm up there with Jesus, baby, and I ain't sick, I ain't sad, I ain't tripping on my body, I'm not tripping on insecurities, I am rejoicing whole in Christ. Finally, that is our destination. That is why I don't want you to fear death. Do we mourn when people die? Yes. We're not supposed to die. That's why it rips us apart when somebody leaves us. We're supposed to be eternally together, connected all the time, everywhere. But Adam failed us. We would have done the same thing, though, so you don't need to resent or throw rocks because we do it all the time, right? You have a choice right now. Are you going to feed your flesh or the spirit? Oh, that looks good. That seems good. And in that moment, it feels good to lash out. Right? What? How do you die? Your body's all, yeah. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But your spirit's all, no. Set your mind on God's word no matter what. You see, if we're prepared beforehand, set your mind, set your heart and your spirit. I am going to, you know, I am going to resolve in myself to just include you, acknowledge you in everything, God. I'm gonna resolve in myself to, as much as I possibly can, just connect with you during the day. When I'm driving in my car, oh, I love you. Thank you so much. The reason why I listen to worship a lot, I listen to it at work. I mean, if I have a choice, I listen to worship because it reminds me. I could be doing whatever. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm at work. I'm sanding a floor at work behind a drum sander. Praising God. And you know what I found out? It's not even really work if you're worshiping. If you're just worshiping for 8 hours I mean, some of you have to talk to people and you can't really, but you know, there's things. Look for things. Look for things that'll remind you God exists, that will trigger you during the day to pray. That's being intentional. That's wanting to set my mind right. So what can I do in the office to remind me? What can I do in my car to remind me? What can I do in my life to remind me constantly of the one who can, the one who is, and the one who will, the one who always shall be? Yahweh, the one true God, so full of love and holiness and purity. So amazing that he would create a creature that he literally would give them the ability to hate him while he loves them, while he continues to bless them here on earth with life. Do you understand that? They're breathing life. They're enjoying this planet because God loves them. And they hate him. They don't want nothing to do with him. That's love. But see, we've been blessed. And I mean, sisters and brothers, if you don't every once in a while come to this moment where you're just crying, saying thank you. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve you opening up your word of revelation like this to me. It's making me strong. I don't deserve it. And yet, I receive it, Lord, all of it. In fact, I want more. I want more of you. I want more. Setting our minds in that place. And you know what? Yeah. I want all of us to like throw another bar in our spiritual, you know, reps this week. If you read a little bit more. If you worship a little bit more. If you pray a little bit more. Let's set our minds on the things of God. And really, if you're not plugged into this community, it's okay. You can, and if you're just checking us out, I get it. Keep doing the do. If this is all you can do is show up on Sunday, praise God. And right on, sisters and brothers. Keep coming back, please. But there's so much more for you. Okay, we have midweek stuff where we chop up the word and then we talk about it in a language that we can understand because it's us. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? It's not just what you know. It's what you know to do. James says this in chapter 1. We got 3 minutes, baby. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Like, how do I do this? Ask God, who gives generously without reproach, meaning he doesn't hold it against you, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord because he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Listen to me. When you pray, pray intentionally. I would pray wrong in my marriage, and God didn't hold that against me, but as soon as I was like, Lord, I know you're at work. I trust you're at work, and I'm going to put all my energy, instead of worrying about her, into worrying about me and my heart. So you sanctifying me, and it turns out I was in the way. I was in the way. Because the more that I die, the better my marriage gets. And that's not what God promises. He doesn't promise us better marriages. He doesn't promise a better life. He promises us eternal life with him. He promises to sanctify us in this life. But as a result of that, what I have seen is my relationships have gotten better. It happens. Because God is good and the truth is powerful. And you know, devil in hell, no man on earth can thwart what God's doing in your life, in your relationships, in you. Ain't nobody gonna touch you what God's gonna do. The word for unstable means restless, by the way. They're restless in all their ways. They're not sure about anything. You relate? I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. James says this in chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face and then walks away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, that is the law fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and perseveres, the one who looks into that and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, that person will be blessed. Do you understand? That's a fact, Jack. What you sow is what you reap. And that is God. Or that's James, you know, expressing in the Spirit of God. And what we need to see here, and I'll close, is that he looks into it intently. And the word is a parakipto. It's bent over and really peering in like John did into the tomb when Jesus rose. Like really, really looking for. And he continues to do this. He doesn't forget what he's heard because he's intentional. Most important, puts truth into practice. What we learn a little, we do it a lot. I love if you do things out of the kindness of your heart. But it's not important. It's not as important as your obedience to his word. The things that you do for God, the things that you do to be a nice person are good. Not as important and not as relevant as you being sanctified by the word, is you allowing the word to convict you, to change you. And that means to obey it. When, you know, we forgive. For some of you, that's going to be a hard thing to do. But God commands it. I'm going to close with that. And I don't want, so we talked about a lot today. Salvation and sanctification. And I want to pray a prayer today and pray a prayer of salvation because I don't know if you know. I mean, are you confident in your salvation with God? If you are, praise God in Christ Jesus. But if you're not, if you're like, man, I mean, maybe I said the prayer, but I don't really know. And, you know, because it's not the prayer that saves you. It's God. And the prayer is just a response. I'm in. I'm not God. You are. Jesus, come into my life. Change me. And for all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to pray with you. We're not even going to raise our hands. We're all going to pray together today. Amen? Amen. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. But I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. And change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your sanctification and your salvation in Jesus Christ. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. Be a blessing. Set your mind this week, and Joe will be back next week. We'll see you. I love you.